But I want to try. And so here's what I want to do. I read that story this morning because I think that story reflects what's being asked of women, particularly in our society now. You know, it used to be enough that women were beautiful, that they were the princess in the tower, and that they were the ones to be rescued. And so she became all that she could be to be one who would be rescued. And then Angelina Jolie came along, and now women have to be tomb raiders. Women have to be strong and powerful and able to stand on their own two feet, with or without men, and probably on top of them. That's where our society is headed. And then there's the expectation for you as women of God. How do I do all this and still draw attention to God? How can I be beautiful? How can I be strong and draw attention to you? I mean, do you feel that pressure? No. Well, I think I'm done. You know, I think some of that's real. So I want to try to speak to some of that, and I'm not going to suggest to you that I know all of the answers, but I think I do know some truths. Truths that would, I think, speak to women as mothers, women in general, but also to men, whether they are fathers or sons or whomever, because these are just some truths about life, some truths that God would give to us when we consider how do we become beautiful, how are we strong, how do we point and give attention to God. And that's really what I want to try to talk about this morning. But in the context of mothers, I was drawn to the story in Luke chapter 1. If you want to flip there, you can. We're not going to read extensively from there. But the story is when Mary gets the news that she's going to be a mom. And it's interesting. There's a couple of things that come out of there that I think are good reminders. And they run parallel to our little tale that we read a little bit earlier about how God would address some of these strains that we feel when we are trying to be all of these things, and especially for moms. You know, I was thinking about all the things that my wife is, all the things that she does as a mom, the expectations that she has. And I tried to list some of them, and it's pretty extensive. You know, be a family planner, cook the meals, keep the house clean, be a taxi driver, be on time, train children, manage the money, please your husband, be fun, but be a disciplinarian and know when to be which, look pretty, be frugal, get it all done, but be patient, be a hostess, protect your family time, support your kids' teachers, buy the perfect gifts for everyone, be a good friend, teach Sunday school, clean wounds, be humble, exercise, keep your family healthy, keep your family clean, keep your family presentable, and never let anybody see you sweat. And that was just the beginning of the list. What's that? I mean, these are the expectations. How do we meet all of the expectations? See, the first tree felt the expectations of the world, because the world says, here's how you're going to be beautiful. If you will be adorned with these things, if this is how you look to the world, that's when you'll be a person of value. That's when you'll be a tree of value. Well, I want to be made into a treasure chest, and I want to have pearls and beauty. I want the world to look at me and think, boy, you've got it all together. You've got it all figured out, and have it that way. See, here's what happens. Our society tells us that life is about treasure. And will measure us accordingly. Measure us according to, you know, the house that we live in and whether it's clean or not. I love... her name just slipped my mind. She used to say, she's a member at Whispering Hills. She used to say, I don't mind if you write your name in the dust on my furniture. Just don't put the date. Who was Ray Perrette. I knew it was R, but all I could think of was Ree. Ray Perrette. Oh, I love Ray Perrette, and that sticks with me. But, society would say, ooh, look at that house and the state of that house, and look at, your car or your clothes that you're wearing or whatever. You know, the world is measuring that way. But one of the truths is that life is less about what we're accomplishing And it's very much more about who we are becoming, who we are as people. That's what matters. See, life, while society would measure us this way, life would reward us if our treasure is people. Life would reward us if our treasure is family, if our greatest accomplishments are learning to serve and having a depth of love that we've learned to spend freely without concern for ourselves. You know, we feel the weight of the world's measure all of the time, just pressing in. We have to succeed. We have to be this kind of person, this kind of mom, this kind of, have to achieve this level of whatever it may be, and live a certain kind of life, make a name for ourselves. But really, the only names that last are the names of the people that have spent their lives for others. That's what matters. Because the only place for names to live on are in the hearts of the people that have been loved. So it's very much less about, are you keeping it all together and are you getting all the ducks in a row and all of these kinds of things and making this great presentation? What matters more is, are you growing in wisdom? Are you developing a sense of self-discipline within yourself? Are you learning to see and to be just? That's tough as a mom. To be courageous, to be faithful. I mean, these are the markers of success in life, for motherhood and beyond. Because our purpose is to reflect the one who's made us. That's what this is about. It's about becoming the radiance of God's goodness, of His love, and of His mercy. And what better context than in motherhood? But you have to be growing in those areas. Those are the things that matter. It's about seeking God's heart that we'll find ourselves holding the greatest treasure in the world. And it's then that we're greatly appreciated and honored. We want to be wanted, and those around us want to have what we have. Jesus says it like this. Here you go, Mom. Seek first the kingdom of God and trust that God has promised to take care of the rest. Just trust that. When Mary, the angel comes to Mary and Mary says this, the angel says this, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." God didn't choose you to be a mom because He thought you'd get it all right. He chose you to be a mom because of what He believed you could become by His hand. And so He assures Mary, "Mary, you found favor with God. Find confidence in that. Seek first His kingdom, and God will take care of the rest. It doesn't all have to be perfect." Another truth is this, that joy is found in the realm of the impossible. Because moms tend to want to control things. Because they want to make sure everything's going to turn out right. At least that's how it is in my house. And I'm thankful for it. This is wisdom from kids about moms. elementary school students. Why did God make mothers? Because she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. One kid says. Another kid says, "Well, mostly to clean the house." That's not even fair, is it? To help us out of there when we were getting born. How did these are elementary school students, okay? How did God make mothers? He used dirt, just like the rest of us. Another kid says, "Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring." God made my mom just the same like He made me. He just used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Let's see. What ingredients are mothers made of? They had to get their start from men's bones, then they mostly used string, I think. Why did God give your mother and not give you your mother and not some other mother? Do I need to say that again? Why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? Well, first answer, because we're related. The second answer, because God knew that she likes me a lot more than other moms like me. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. Listen to this one. What kind of little girl was your mom? They say she used to be nice. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? His last name. She had to know his background, like, is he a crook? Does he get drunk on beer? Does he make at least $800 a year? And did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mom eats a lot. Why did your mom marry your dad? She got too old to do anything else with him. Why did your mom marry your dad? My grandma says that my mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Who's the boss at your house? Mom doesn't want to be boss, but she says she has to because dad's such a goofball. Who's the boss at your house? Mom, you can tell by room inspection. She sees the stuff under the bed. Who's the boss at your house? I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad. What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at home, work and work at home. Dads just work at work. Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have the real power. Because that's who you have to ask if you want to have a sleepover at your friend's. Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. What does your mom do in her spare time? Moms don't have spare time. Well, to hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. Two more questions. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Diet, you know, her hair. I'd dye it, maybe blue. Oh, let's see. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. If I could change one thing about my mom, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she'd know it was my sister who did it and not me. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes in her back. Pretty good. You know, we one of Mary's questions one of her first questions in response to this, you're going to be a mom. She says, how will this be? I mean, how is this going to work? I mean, we know her situation, and she's not been with a man. She's a virgin. But you can imagine that just involved in that question, you know, you're going to become a mom, and your boy is going to be the king of the universe. How is this going to be? How? I'm not strong enough for that. How can I possibly mother a child? You know, all of these things about moms that come out and the kids interpret it is because mothers want the very best for their kids. They want to pour everything they can into their kids, give their kids every single chance. I tell kids a lot when I have the opportunity. Here's the way parents look at it. They want you to start where they finished. They don't want you to go back and remake all these mistakes that they've made. They just want you to say, okay, here's what I did. Here's how it worked out. Don't do that. Start from here. Trust me. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to pour, but we can't. But we want to. That's the desire. But so how can this be? How will this work out? How can I make this happen? How can I be strong enough to guide and prepare? And we get all mixed up in our emotions about how we're going to make this happen. We have these dreams that we'll have for our children and for our families. And we want to realize those dreams. You know, we want them to be successful in life. Here's what I want to say to you. There's a truth here that the greatest joy is found in the realm of the impossible. And what I mean by that is this, that whatever you think can be or will be for your family and for your kids, God can do more. God can do immeasurably more. I mean, the scripture says that he could do more than we could ask or hope for. He could do more than we could even dream. Even in our wildest dreams, we can't dream what God can dream. The problem is that so few of us are willing to live on the edge. We tend to reach for the things that we feel are in our grasp or what are in our children's grasp rather than seeking the things that God would have us to do. Seeking the things that God would have our children to do. We can fall into that trap because if we can control it, it feels safe. If they don't get too far, then they'll be, you know, we can help them and pick them up and keep them safe. And we work to build our little kingdom so often instead of working to fully live in His great kingdom. And so the challenge is to dream for our children, to dream big for our children and work toward those dreams, but strive to dream God's dreams, which may take them across great oceans like it did me and my wife. It may take them into heavy storms, headlong into storms. But it's in knowing that they are going with the King of Kings, who commands the storms, and urging our children to live on that edge of the impossible where God has to move. We want our children there. We want our children to see God do what they can't do. Because it's only when we get to that edge that we're able to live beyond our own ability and into God's full life for us. That's where the exciting things are. That's where the joy is. It's learning how to dream God's dreams as a mom, as families, and as individuals. And God makes the second tree strong. And that's how we become strong as moms. We live by faith and not by sight. We live by what God can do and not by what we can do. The last truth is a tough one. It's not one I think is new to us, but it's important. And that is, in order to really live, we have to die. You know, I think about it in terms of freedom. Freedom is not something that a government grants. It's not something that money can manipulate or that circumstances can dictate, because freedom is not what is happening to us. Freedom is what happens in us. Freedom is the gift that God has to give to us. Freedom is the very essence of salvation. It's the reason that Jesus Christ walked on the earth and climbed onto the cross. And I'm not talking about, you know, the freedom to vote or the freedom to have your say or be right and wrong or to choose a certain destiny. I'm talking about freedom that is being free from you. God freeing you from you. You know, it is possible to live life without oppressive frustration all the time, just constantly feeling frustrated. It's possible to not be defeated by defeat. When things go wrong and dreams, you know, with our kids, it's not working out, and we feel like we've failed as parents and as mothers. As if we're this tree that wanted nothing more than just to bring glory to God in motherhood and in through our children and in their lives and all this success. And we find ourselves on this wood pile and think, what happened? How did this happen? We don't have to be defeated by defeat. Falling like that as a family, failing like that as a mother, it can be one of the very best things that ever happens in your life. You can be free if you'll die. See, here's what happens. Arrogance can imprison us if we let it. Pride can consume us and drag us into darkness, the darkness of selfishness or unforgiveness, if we'll give pride life. But if we die, if we truly let go of ourselves, then we can have a freedom that creates in us an abiding joy in our heart no matter what's going on. It can create in us a kindness that doesn't need a reason. It can generate in us a comfort that we can extend without limit to others. Because we figured out that it's not about me. See, this freedom will produce in us a peace. It just doesn't make sense. And no one and nothing can take it away. If we die, if you die, you will be beautiful. Beautiful not as the world is currently defining, but beautiful as the world is longing to be beautiful. And yet can't seem to make it because we keep getting in our own way. God wants to set you free. Really free. And here's the way that He gives to set us free. All of us. Lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. You see, here's the deal. We talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night. It's either going to be you or it's going to be Him. That's it. Either Jesus is Lord or you're Lord. Those are the only two options, because somebody's sitting on the throne. We'll either live our lives for God, or we'll live our lives for us. If we live them for Him, He will set us free. And if we don't, then we'll find ourselves slaves to so many things that will rob our lives from every side. Here's Jesus' promise. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for My sake will find it. Everything that we're doing as parents, everything that we're trying to do as moms, is help our kids to know God. We're trying to help our kids to know God so that they can in turn go and make God known in their life. But you can't know God. You can't make Him known unless you know Him, and you can't know Him unless you die. To truly live, to truly breathe life into our marriages, into our homes, into our families, into our children, we have to die. And it's in learning this lesson that we find true freedom. And we do it by lifting up Jesus. So I would say to you as a mom, be free. Be free. Live free. Live free by obeying the Christ. Live free by trusting in Him. Live free by believing in the One who's shown you the way of how to die. Because the truth is, it's when we die that we truly start to live. And so the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy, and the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. And it really has. It really has. He's made you beautiful. He's making you strong. He's crafting you into the very best version of you that you could possibly be. I love the idea that God has started something in us, in each of us, and He intends to finish it. He intends the impossible in us and through us, but we can't dream alone. And we can't dream just about ourselves. So I say, Mom, let God have your way with you. Let God have your way with your life. And then every time people think of you, not just on Mother's Day, and every time people remember you in the days to come, they will think of God. And that's better than being the tallest tree in the world.